Hello and welcome to Two Old Guys on the Back Porch. I am Steve Scotch. We have the lovely and talented Kat. That's C-A-T, singing in the rain. Kat, what's going on?
Hey, how y'all doing? We can be found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Audible, all your premier podcast platforms. This week, we're going to shout out two towns in the U.S. of A. One is Chapel Hill, North Carolina, home of the University of North Carolina, go Tar Heels. Our other town is Portland, Tennessee. This little town there in Tennessee has a famous Middle Tennessee Strawberry Festival. Giving y'all a round of applause.
All right, alcohol is always just an arm's length away here on the back porch. And we still believe in the old adage that the family that drinks together stays together. Today I'm having some Mango Tango flavored moonshine from Belle Isle Moonshine, located at 7th and Maury Street here in the city of Richmond, VA. Belle Isle Moonshine, it's about 35 minutes from here. And if you're ever in the area, stop in and get some shine. It's pretty darn good. What you got, Cap?
I've just got a little reminder that it is a Girl Scout cookie season. You see that little stand there in front of the Tractor Supply or any grocery store? Go over and buy a couple of boxes of cookies.
We got any new flavors?
No, I've got the famous Samoa's flavor here in my cocktail. It's Samoa's cocktail with
you
chocolate
like the
liqueur.
Samoans.
I love the Samoans. It's chocolate liqueur, caramel, vodka, coconut rum, a little half and half.
All right.
You can decorate that thing up with a little chocolate syrup and some coconut flakes.
Sounds sweet like you, babe.
Thanks, doll.
All right. Today, we're going to look at the disappearing middle class. Our world is turning into the haves and the have-nots. It's happening very slowly, day by day. And you don't even notice that it's even happening. You know, most of y'all listening probably, you know, get up every day, fix yourself a cup of coffee, hit the Starbucks, fix yourself something to eat, go out and get something to eat. And you just never really think about it. You just go and do your thing. But, you know, you go over to the thermostat, put the heat on, wintertime, put it where you want, AC, kick the AC up in the summer, you never really think about it. But here's some things to think about. 10% of the world lives on less than $2 a day. That's $2 a day. Now, tomorrow when you get up, calculate all you spend to get through one day. Eating, drinking, driving, buying stuff you don't need on Amazon. Just calculate it one day. I'm sure it's way over $2. Now, on the big end, there are 56 million millionaires in the world and 2,800 billionaires. Let's see. The average American spends $3,000 a year going to restaurants. And I'd say that's pretty close. That's about what me and Kat spend each
year. Does that include DoorDash?
I don't know. Now, there's many, many people worldwide and here in the divided states of America who will never see the inside of a restaurant. So think about that one. 12% of American families don't know where their next meal's coming from.
Oh, here's one. The first quarter of 2023, 66.6% of the total wealth of the United States is owned by the top 10% of earners. In comparison, lowest 50% of earners only own 2.6% of total wealth.
The haves and the have-nots. We're not we're not going into we don't want to go into socialism, communism, any of that. We're not that extreme. We're just laying out some facts.
We're not rocking the revolution, okay?
We're just saying slowly the way this economy's going, it's you either got the bank or you don't. 1/3 of food production is wasted each year. 1/3 of food grown on farms or produced in factories or whatever, and food in restaurants, grocery stores, 1/3 of it ends up in a landfill.
And that's just not just the dodgy beets that are sitting there that are never going to get cooked.
Right. 785 million people don't have access to clean water. Now, most of us now carry around these little Yeti containers all day long now,
or
drinking
Stanley.
Water.
You have a Stanley cup.
The Stanley one's got lead in it?
Yeah.
Ah, bad deal. Anyway, just water. You know, we jump into the shower, run the hot water for 10, 15 minutes every night. No big whoop. But there are 785 million people who don't have that luxury. I mean, yes, some people just don't have plain old water. Water is a luxury to them. Now, I just kind of ran through those stats just to get you thinking about how lucky most of us are. And not just lucky. I mean, most of us get up every day, go to work, you know, earn what we have. But these stats, they paint a very bad picture for humanity worldwide. But, you know, I'm gonna take it to a local level. All right. Whatever is going on right now in your own little world, you know, this is me just assuming everyone listening is kind of on the same level playing field. And this is just kind of me crying about our middle class status. It is slowly slipping away. The haves, the have-nots, it's becoming more prevalent every day. And blame it on whatever. Just pick one. Inflation, price of everything going up, price gouging, you know, fuel cost. And these are all like made-up excuses from the powers that be to try to rationalize to us why everything is more expensive.
Corporations with rising prices, they raked in record profit last year because inflation. No, they were inflating those so they could make more money.
Right. I mean, every day you leave your house, your apartment, whatever, and anywhere you go, anything you do, the whole goal of whoever you're dealing with is to separate you from your money.
Corporate profit margins last year hit an all-time high.
But they're begging for more. I mean, let's just throw some out. Say you're going to go out on the town to go see a concert. Let's say Morgan Wallen, or Wallen Morgan, whatever his name is, he's in town.
He's just not Morgan Wade.
So two tickets for me and the wifey to go listen to this dude who can't sing a lick. It could be, I don't know, as cheap as $25 a piece, or it could be $650 a piece on the high end. You know, 12 hundy for tickets, and they're going to pop you for parking, 20, 30 bucks. 12 bucks for a Bud Light. Okay, you're talking like $1,500 before you get home to go see a freaking concert. I mean, think about that. The haves can do it, the have-nots. You're not going to get to see Morgan Wallen or Wallen Morgan, whatever his name is. Say dad wants to take the family to the amusement park. We're going to King's Dominion, Water Country, Six Flags over something, whatever it is. All right, it's like 200-300 bones to get in. Here we go with the parking fucking job again. And before you get through the gate, you know, dad's already down a grand before they even get in the freaking place. Okay? Haves can do it. Have-nots, no. Now, here's another example. This is a good one. Seafood. Freaking seafood. Okay? If you haven't seen the prices of this stuff, we like seafood every once in a while around this house.
We used to catch it ourselves, though.
Right. A bushel of crabs now is like $2.50. Okay? $2.50 for 5 dozen crabs.
Lord have mercy.
You got to make payments on a bushel of crabs. And we got a dude up the road here. It's got a little seafood jank. I go in there and get like 15, 20 scallops or something, whatever. It's $40. Okay. Oysters. They must have pearls in the jar with them. I mean, those bitches are off the charts for freaking oysters. So I don't know. Buying seafood now, it's sort of like buying drugs. Not that I know anything about that. You know, you really don't know what you're going to pay. You know, you don't know what you're going to get clipped for. And as Kat just said, we used to catch our own. I mean, I spent many summers on the banks of the Rappahannock River. I'd put like $5 worth of gas in the boat, get a dozen bloodworms for like $5, catch enough fish to eat for the weekend, and then whack the fish heads off, put them in the crab pots, and catch 2 dozen crabs. And all that for $10. And now it's $100 just to have a seafood dinner at home to fix it yourself.
I mean, when I go in there, I can only justify it. But let me see, how much would I pay that restaurant down the road for the quality of shrimp I just bought? And probably, how many shrimp would I get? Five? Five whole shrimp?
It's crazy.
I went down the road to the restaurant.
And I know this one's going to sound like I'm bitching about the upper class because I'm not in it. But I'm going to throw it out there anyway. If you've ever been snow skiing.
Oh, Lord.
And
those pockets.
You've seen this. It's like you're standing in line to get on the lift, right? And then the entitled ones come up, sliding up in the other lane. And they get to cut in front of you because they bought some kind of a cut the line pass. You know, they paid a little more for their lift ticket.
Like we're Disney World.
So you get to stand there and watch them go ahead of you. I mean, that is just straight up bullshit. Of course, they came up with that, to get more money, not to screw you over.
Right.
And Kat just brought it up. Amusement parks, they offer the entitled ones the cut and line pass. You're standing there with your kids waiting to get on the freaking teacup ride or whatever it is at Disney World. And the next thing you know, here comes the entitled ones out of nowhere, come right up there and just cut right in front of you because they pay for some special cut in line pass or whatever. I call it bullshit. Even Tinder, a freaking dating website, offers this thing. If you pay more, they move you to the front of the line on Tinder. I'm not bullshitting.
You've been bona fide.
You've got to be kidding.
Certified, tenderized.
Anyway. You know, I don't know what to do. The divide, it's getting bigger and bigger. I guess you just do nothing. I mean, right now, you know, everybody's got to cut back a little bit on the extras, do what you can do to stay afloat. But
what happened with coupons?
The coupons are gone.
Coupons are gone.
Yeah.
Because nobody's buying the newspaper.
Yeah. Well, the middle class is gone, too. It's the haves and the have-nots. It's coming to a town near you. All right, let's roll right into... I need a shot, and we're going to go into One Tough Awesome Lady.
Cha.
I needed that drum roll to be a little bit longer. Can I tell them who it is?
Mother Today, Teresa. Our awesome lady is Mother Teresa. Let's see, Mother Teresa was
born in 1910.
Right.
From, I guess, Macedonia?
Macedonia, right.
Albanian Catholic nun.
Right. This is how old. Anybody remember the Ottoman Empire? That was around about 1910.
Wow. Okay. I remember that.
By blood, Albanian. By citizenship, I'm Indian. By faith, I'm a Catholic nun.
Okay. Just spent her entire life serving the poor. Started the Missionaries of Charity. It's hard to find anybody before, during, or after who have done more for humanity than Mother Teresa. The missionaries of charity have helped people with, you name it, every nasty thing you can think of, AIDS, leprosy, tuberculosis. They run soup kitchens, orphanages, I can say that sometimes, schools. The missionaries of charity runs across 133 countries and helps the poorest of the poor. And they do that every day right now, thanks to Mother Teresa.
And she decided to dedicate her life to God. When she was 12 years old, she saw her mother doing acts of kindness for those less fortunate and decided to strengthen her Catholic faith and become a nun. And when she did leave her mother for the Sisters of Loreto, a little Irish community, she went to Ireland before she was sent to do missionaries in India. She was trained in Ireland for several months, but then after that, she never saw her mother again her whole life.
Damn. Mm-mm-mm. Mother Teresa received the Nobel Peace Prize in 1979.
She had 120 different accolades and awards.
Yeah. This one was for helping the poor in Calcutta,
right,
India.
And you always saw her being really skinny.
Yeah.
And the reason why she wasn't eating because she was giving everything else.
She never took care of herself.
She never really took care of herself. Constantly hungry, begged for food from strangers in the street. I mean. Yeah.
Well, when they had the ceremony to give her the Nobel Peace Prize, that ceremony at the time cost close to like $200,000 to put on every year. And Mother Teresa said, screw that. Let's take that 200 gur and give it to the poor in India.
Well, that's wild that you say that, because there was like a challenge on Amazing Race where they had to serve different parts of dinners of different award winners. And it's like it's like a 8-course dinner there in Sweden. So
yeah.
I can see her going, well, I don't want that.
Right. I know people to have nothing. Mother Teresa, like I had mentioned it a minute ago, countless documentaries, books, films depicting the great woman that she was. Mother Teresa spent each day of her existence helping those in need. And that makes Mother Teresa one tough, awesome lady. Are we still watching stuff?
We are still watching stuff because, you know, I'm constantly going to watch something. I'm going to watch. I love TV. And as you guys might have figured out, I'm kind of a complex person. I like Jane Austen. I love Agatha Christie mysteries. Another thing I love is sci-fi. Ooh. And I like good science fiction. And it's hard. And I hate to beat on the sci-fi channel. Their personally produced stuff isn't always great. Sometimes they'll have something good that I will enjoy. And one of the programs I've enjoyed the last few years is a little comedy / sci-fi show called Resident Alien. It's about an alien that crashes there in a little town in Colorado, takes the identity of a doctor, and slowly his mission is to come kill everybody. And the alien is done superbly by Alan Turing. He's such a comic genius. Anyway, and as he's getting in the town, he finally figures out maybe I don't really want to kill these people. And it's had 3 seasons.
So the show took a twist and a turn of where it was going.
Right. You thought he was going to off everybody in the world, but he does not. And he, you know, makes friends with, you know, he had take the identity of a physician, and then he starts to pretend to be that physician to work there in the town. And it's pretty good. The first 2 seasons dropped last week on Netflix and was in the top 10. Let's see. The first season, Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 94% with 31 critics, average rating 2.8. It's a good show. The 3rd season's airing right now on Sci-Fi, and you can also catch up on Peacock. It's just a good show. It's funny. I mean, sounds strange to say that a alien show is funny, but it is, because Alan Turing is such a good actor doing this role, and the comedy is very modern. I'll say that.
And its name is what? The name of the show?
The name of the show is called Resident Alien.
And it's on?
It's on Sci-Fi. You can catch up on it on Peacock, or if you just want to get into it by watching it on Netflix, the first two seasons dropped last week on Netflix.
All right, I need a shot. What's the shot of the week?
The shot of the week is a little something called sexual healing shot. And sexual healing was a popular song back in our day by the great Marvin Gaye. And I just read a little thing, how Marvin kind of came up. Was he personally felt healing? This is back in the early 80s. He's living in Belgium, of all places, trying to get his life together. He's trying to get out of Motown, having problems with his second marriage. Also has a cocaine addiction he's trying to get rid of. And this was one of the songs he wrote while he was just chilling, trying to straighten out his life.
All right, let's pop the sexual healing shot.
Okay, sexual healing is 1 ounce Kahlua, 1 ounce amaretto, a half an ounce of peppermint schnapps, and a half an ounce of rum, and 2 ounces of milk.
Good gosh.
Okay.
All right, so the whole liquor store is in this one.
Yep.
It's kind of tan look.
Okay.
Kind of looks like chocolate milk. That's not bad.
No.
There's a lot going on.
So it's kind of complex.
You can taste everything, and it kind of tastes like chocolate milk with liquor in it. I'm going to make my own sexual healing later. All right. Thank you, Kat.
You're welcome.
We were bumpered in this week with a band called the Brian Jonestown Massacre. That's what they're called. Formed in 1990 from San Fran, California. Anton Newcomb is the main dude in this band. He is basically Brian Jonestown Massacre. You know, he guides the band with his guitar and vocals. They got Ricky. This might be the band. There's a lot of things going on. Anton tends to get mad at the guys every once in a while, and people come and go, and then they come back. It's very strange.
Hasta la vista,
baby. But anyway, Ricky Mamie, this dude has played drums, bass. Now he's on guitar. He's played everything in this band. Anton must like him. Ricky gets to hang around. Joel, I want to say Jen, stands there in the middle of this chaos and waves a tambourine. Now, Joel, he's there for a reason. I don't know what. I think he's there for inspiration.
He knows the drug dealer. I don't know.
You can hear the tambourine. There's a microphone there. You think he's going to sing or say something, but he's not allowed. Just keep whipping that tambourine around. And
tambourine man.
It's you have to see this band to believe it. And they've been around forever, okay? This is nothing new. I just started my fixation with them. I'm a little slow, not too long ago. Can somebody have a regular name? Nicolisi is on keyboards. Dan Lyons, the drummer, if he's still there. I can pronounce his name. And Ryan Vaughn Creed, I guess, on guitar. But I think Ryan is the last one who got bounced. The Brian Jonestown Massacre, they were on tour in Australia the end of last year. And Anton told Ryan to get off the stage right now. We don't need you. This was in the middle of a concert.
And this can be seen on YouTube,
and
correct?
And then these two had a throwdown right there on the stage. I don't know how many thousands of people were watching this. And the rest of the band, the roadies, the groupies or girlfriends, they're all piled up on the stage trying to pull these two dudes apart. This might sound strange, but everything about this band is strange. Now, I haven't listened to all 14 albums by the Brian Jonestown Massacre. I don't have the time, but I have listened to a lot of their stuff.
There could be a gem in there somewhere.
It's good. It takes a minute to get to it. It does. And I know some of y'all out there, or anybody out there who knows the Brian Jonestown Massacre, who's in the cult, no pun intended, already know what this band is about. And they do have a large cult following. Their live shows usually sell out wherever they go. And when you see them on stage, it's kind of weird. Anton, the main dude, will set up like to the right or the left side of the stage, which usually the main dude is where? In the middle. But they let Joel stand there. The tambourine man gets to stand in the middle for 2 hours and shake it.
Keep him separated.
It's the whole thing's weird. The drummer, he's got like a snare, kick drum, two cymbals, and a hi-hat. That's it. Nothing. And he plays the shit out of it. And then, like I said, Joel's there shaking it like he means it. It's very strange, but it all adds up to the whole strangeness of this thing. And I love it. You know, to me, when I started listening to it, it's like Anton would just get on. He's on the guitar and he'll just start strumming like 2, 3, 4 chord progressions or whatever. And then the rest of the band kind of adds their own twists and turns. I don't know why he gets mad at people for fucking up, because you can't really tell. I mean, there's like three dudes up there strumming guitars and it's like, dun, dun, dun,
Anton knows.
Dun. I could play a little bit. It doesn't sound that tricky, but then once the thing starts going, it's pretty wild. To me, I hear the Velvet Underground, and there's a weird band I like called Galaxy 500. They kind of remind me of them a little bit, but don't get it twisted. Now, the Brian Jonestown Massacre, they are on a planet all by themselves. And like I said, once you first started listening to it, you got to give it a second. Wait till they get going. When the thing starts going, it's fucking genius. I'm telling you.
Or the drugs start hitting.
I'm telling you, the Brian Jonestown Massacre, they are fucked up, but it's a good fucked up. It is. Anyway, check out the Brian Jonestown Massacre wherever you get your music. I want to thank everybody for listening, for hanging out on the back porch. We'll see y'all down the road.
See ya.